From RunAsRadio.com, you're listening to Run As Radio, the internet audio talk show for IT professionals with Richard Campbell. This is Brandon Nguyen announcing show number 314 with guest Johan Arwoodmark. Recorded Thursday, April 18th, 2013. Run As Radio is produced each week by Quap Productions, providing professional media and podcasting services online at pwop.com. You can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/runasradio.
Thank you, Brandon. This is Richard Campbell, and you're listening to Run As Radio. Let's get right into it. Our guest today is Johan Arwoodmark, and he's a consultant and all-around geek specializing in enterprise Windows deployment solutions. He speaks at several conferences each year, including MMS, which just happened, TechEd, which this year is in New Orleans, and around the world. He is also actively involved in deployment communities like deploymentresearch.com and myitforum.com, and has been awarded the Microsoft MVP in Enterprise Client Management. Welcome, sir.
Thank you. Thank you.
I have been reading your stuff for years. I used to hang out on Manassi's forum fairly often, and I know we've met somewhere. It must have been one of the European conferences that I'd have to guess. But you've never been on the show before, which is my mistake. So welcome. I'm glad you're here.
I'm happy to be here.
So what have you been working on these days?
The last 2 years, I've been focusing more and more on config manager projects. There was a gap in, you know, early 2000 when before the product was released, but since April last year, it's been crazy. A lot of customers wanted to upgrade from 07 to 012.
Yeah, I think 5 years is too long. They really needed to be a 2010 edition.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think MDT grew up, and I've seen lots of people be really successful just using the deployment toolkit.
Yeah, that's the irony of everything. I mean, MDT used to be the a separate team that was part of the Solution Accelerators program, and the Config Manager team, they had their OSD people. Now, MDT actually is within the Enterprise Client Management organization, so it's actually part of the Config Manager product team now.
It's all really all the same team, which I think is good in the sense that MDT is still free and is now part of a team that makes a profitable product. So I have confidence that MDT will never go away.
I hope not. I know that there will be a new version, MDT 2013.
Mm-hmm.
But that was about all they announced at MMS, that there will be a new version. And then they told us, well, you have to wait to tech it until we can give you more details.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, because yeah. MMS was in Vegas just a couple of weeks ago, I think.
Last week,
last
actually.
Last week, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, then they're going to hold out for the U.S. TechEd announcements. I shouldn't have just presumed, you know, not the only TechEd is in New Orleans, as I said in the intro. There's also Madrid at the end of June. There's TechEd's all over the world.
You have Australia, New Zealand in September.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And it, I think they still do a TechEd Israel, too. TechEd South Africa was in February this year. So,
April, right?
Was it April?
I thought it was.
I don't know. It's all a blur. I have every intention of going to every TechEd someday. I've never made it to the South Africa one, but I've done Australia, New Zealand, Europe, and U.S. And I got to the Asia one when it existed, but it's gone now, which is too bad.
Yeah, I like Hong Kong. I did that one for a year.
Oh, yeah.
Beautiful. Yeah.
And such enthusiastic crowds wherever you go. You know, these are all interesting problems. So where do you want to dig into? Because ConfigMan, we've talked a little bit about how the deployment toolkit sits under Config Manager these days. I'm really interested in, you have very specific approaches. Do you believe in a one right way to use these tools?
Yeah, it's basically, it's either the correct way or it's the very incorrect way.
There is a right way.
Yeah, I try to keep things simple.
Sure.
I have the benefit of going to quite many different customers every year, and after a while, you learn what works and what doesn't work, and yeah, I try to emphasize on what actually does work.
And that's really cool. I mean, if there is a right way, it's good for folks to know. So, you know, let's talk through your strategies, the techniques you've seen that work the best for MDT.
Well, when you do deployments, there's actually two main tracks that you follow. First, you really need to have a reference image. It helps your deployment immensely. And then you need to take that and deploy it into production.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, technically, you don't need to create the reference image because the one that you get on the Windows 7 or Windows 8 DVD, it's already ready for deployment.
Right.
But by creating a reference image, you can add, I mean, we deploy Windows hopefully to run something on it, like applications.
You'd think.
Yeah, normally you do that. I have met few customers who just deployed Windows just to have it. They normally use it for something.
Mm-hmm.
But applications, they need components like runtime, C++ or .NET framework.
Yeah.
And it needs to be updated. And by creating a reference image and put in the updates, put in the base foundation components, the deployment is much quicker later on.
So it's worth taking the time to crack open that ISO, add the base components that all your machines are going to use, and then, you know, that's your reference image to work from.
Exactly. And the term that is being used is actually, I wouldn't say crack open, even sort of true, but what do you do? I use MDT 2012 Light Touch to create my reference images. So what I do is a build and capture process. So shorthand story is I fire up a VM and have MDT do its thing with it, and the end result is a WIM file.
Right.
With all the stuff in it, fully up to date, everything. But the core thing, it's fully automated. I live and breathe for automation. I love automation.
Mm-hmm. And do you do workstation servers totally separately? I mean, I'm almost thinking in the case of most server images, like for a web server, pretty much the base installs everything you need. There's not a whole lot to add there.
Well, they also have updates that you may want to include in a server build. You may want to add in .NET framework into a server build as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the same process. It's normally that the client may have maybe a few more apps in it, but the server may have a little less applications. But it's still the builder capture process, and I like it to be automated so that I can repeat that build with the same quality every single time.
Consistency is important. Do you find organizations where they're only using MDT for workstations and still doing their server builds by hand?
Oh, yeah, all the time. And there are a few things that freaks me out more than when I see a 10-page document hanging on the server room and, you know, what to do when deploy a new server. And number one is insert a DVD. I was like, what?
And you like light touch, and maybe we should go back over what light touch really means in the MDT world.
No, it's just the name, the branding of the standalone deployment solution.
Right.
And the reason I use it, well, it's free and it's really fast, and it has a few more options when creating reference images that I do not have in Config Manager. And also the image that I get from Light Touch, I can use with everything. I can use it with Windows Deployment Services. I can use it with Light Touch. I can use it with Config Manager. Mm-hmm. I can use it with the Server 2012 VDI solutions. I can import into Virtual Machine Manager so I can clone things there. I can use that for everything.
Nice.
So I get a very compatible image, and I love that.
Yeah, it's very powerful. It makes it worthwhile to spend time making an image properly, knowing that all these different things you might deploy, you could use that same image.
Exactly. And then, for example, if a customer do have Config Manager, of course they should be using it to deploy the image and to manage it.
Mm-hmm.
Because MDT doesn't do management. MDT does only OS deployment.
Right.
Nothing after deployment day.
Well, there's a difference between the free product and the pay product. And the pay product, it's the maintenance part.
Exactly. Through the entire life cycle of the machine.
Sure. How often do you want to update those reference images? When do you put the service pack onto the image rather than letting the machines pull it down?
I try to build or update the reference image at most every second month, but sometimes monthly.
Okay. Is that just what would normally come from WSUS, or what about drivers?
Drivers never goes into the reference image.
Right.
The reference image is built in a virtual machine and never ever of a physical hardware.
Mm-hmm.
And that, again, is to get the most compliant image. And since you have a VM, I mean, Hyper-V, if you have an issue with the build, it will have nothing to do with hardware.
Right.
You can totally disregard hardware issues from your troubleshooting which is beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, it's great for testing your image, trying to get it right, is that you always work from Hyper-V so that you, and
yeah.
you never ever talk about drivers at all. But, you know, maybe I'm just backing into this. What is the right way to manage drivers?
Well, that actually is a sort of depend scenario.
Ah, I knew there was one in here somewhere.
Yeah. For about, I would say, 99%, I do a per model based approach for drivers.
Per
and
model.
I like to call that total control freak. It's a term I've been using for 10 years.
Yeah, I think I've seen this on a forum post somewhere. The total control freak, yes.
You might have seen that, yeah. And that is basically making sure that for each and every model that I have, I assign a list of drivers that is going to be injected to that model, no matter what Windows thinks about it or not. Simply, I have tested these drivers, I know they work, and right. I assign them to a model.
So you're not letting the machine go get drivers at all. You provide them all.
It still injects as a dynamic way during the deployment, but I have configure the rules for that detection rather than just using a plug-and-play ID detection where I simply hope for the best.
Right.
I mean, that may work fine if you have four models
yeah.
that you don't change very often. Fine, go ahead. But as soon as you get that larger models, and especially if you try to do multiple families like you're doing Windows 7 and Windows 8 mm-hmm. deployments at the same time, and you want Windows 8 drivers to go into the Windows 8 deployments and Windows 7 drivers into the Windows 7 deployments. Well,
you've got to keep these things locked down. This is, you know, it's a control freak mentality, but that also means a non-trivial amount of testing for you. I mean, it's great to mature your reference image in a VM, but each one of these platforms, you're going to have to check these drivers out and have some confidence in them before you can really specify all of that.
Oh, yeah. I have to test model by model.
Mm-hmm.
But that, again, is the beauty of going from customer to customer. I mean, over the years, I've been testing hundreds and hundreds of models.
Right.
One customer I went to, they had almost 300 models.
Wow.
That was crazy.
300. And so, and each model representing a particular hardware configuration with a particular operating system.
Yes.
Oh, man. So, yeah, I mean, this is where it happens when you start managing multiple versions of the OS.
Yeah, it was a nightmare. And that was one of the few exceptions where we did not do the control freak method, where I simply didn't want to create 300 packages.
Yeah.
So we simplified things.
It's just too many to keep track of.
Yes, it was, yeah.
All right, so it turns out there are some companies that are in a crazy enough situation that control freak doesn't make sense. But most cases, that's not true.
Exactly. And what a company can do to ease the pain is, of course, don't have that many models.
Yeah.
We were doing a pre-conference last TechEd, me and Kent Ogland, the Danish config manager MVP, and mm-hmm. we had it was an insurance company in the audience, and they had some 20,000 seats, pretty large, you know, company anyway.
Sure.
They had two models.
Two?
Two models, period. It was like, wow. I was impressed.
Well, that means probably only running one operating system, and it's like a laptop and a desktop?
Yeah, but imagine how easy that was for help desk to troubleshoot.
Oh, sure.
And it was like, wow, I was impressed.
Well, you know, you got to pick your hardware carefully then. Make a good deal that machine's going to be around for a while. Like, it's not a trivial thing to pull that off, but I appreciate the thinking. 20,000 seats with two models.
Yeah, but that's on one end of the spectrum.
Yeah.
And then you had the 296 models on the other end. And everything in between.
Awesome. Yeah, and great goal to have. But I got to think, getting there when you're coming into an existing organization with X many number of seats already, introducing MDT for the first time, like trying to build up those models is going to take a while.
Yeah, but that's also the beauty. If you go back to the going from site to site to site, I have built a pretty good library by now.
Right.
So I only need to deal with the exceptions.
Are these available for people to use, what you think the correct driver sets are for a given model?
Well, drivers I already tested. I know what drivers that works for a given model. We don't need to retest that. I just need to add the drivers to a package, and I know it will work.
Right.
Of course, we will do a test, but we don't have to spend a lot of time doing the testing. We can focus the testing time on the models I have not tested. tested previously.
Right. So is there a place where people can get access to these models, or are they specific to the given enterprise?
There is no public available, like, super giant library. It would be nice, but the vendors doesn't like that, so yeah. it doesn't really exist.
Yeah, it's an interesting problem, right? It's a very personal thing, actually.
I've seen plenty of vendors offering, as part of their services, you know, drivers for given models they support. For example, Dell does that.
Mm-hmm.
They have provided you a driver cap for every model they have. And HP has a pretty strong story as well. They have a SoftBank Download Manager utility that allow you to download drivers on a per model basis. Lenovo has their update retriever utility, and which allow you to do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are working with the big vendors, they do provide you with, you know, enterprise deployment driver sets.
Nice.
It doesn't mean that you don't have to test, but you get the 95% delivered to you.
Yeah.
You have to fix the final five, maybe.
Well, and you're good. And if you don't use that, as soon as you call for support from that vendor, they're going to say, use this. So you might as well save yourself the step.
Exactly.
Yeah, really interesting stuff. And I think it's part of the challenge for a lot of folks is just to sit back and say, hey, people have come before you on this and have solved some of these problems. You just need to go find them.
Yep.
You know, spend some time on the Dell site and learn where those enterprise driver sets are. You'll save yourself a lot of pain.
Pretty much.
Awesome. So what else? What do folks not know about MDT yet that they should be doing?
Well, a cool feature that I've seen quite a few customers actually miss is that in Update 1 that was released September last year, or rather re-released, I should say, because it was released twice, they added monitoring, real-time monitoring for your deployments. And a lot of people noticed that it was added into Light Touch, the free version, because you see it directly in the console.
Mm-hmm.
What companies missed is it's actually available for Config Manager deployment as well.
Oh.
So by changing a simple text line in the Config Manager environment, you can have all those deployments report to this monitoring feature as well. So you can see live on a screen as your deployments progress in the enterprise. And that's an OData feed, so it's a web service in the back end servicing this monitoring feed or real-time deployment information. And you can even use your normal web browser to see that information. You can open up PowerShell with a grid view to see the same information.
Neat.
You can open up Excel, a spreadsheet, and you will see your deployments in that spreadsheet.
And what's coming through that OData feed? What's it telling you?
The progress of the deployment. It lists every single action that the deployment is doing,
wow.
And when it started, when it's supposed to be ended, and, well, where it are in the progress.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty cool information.
Sure. And just watching a machine get provisioned, or you buy a new stack of servers to build out a web cluster, and you could watch them all get updated pretty much simultaneously.
Yeah, and especially since now I just given you a reason to invest in that, you know, 80-inch LED TV that can have in the office to just watch that Excel spreadsheet with all the running deployments that you have in your organization.
Does it work across to something like Azure if I was lighting up new instances there?
Well, yes and no. In Config Manager, the stuff where you store all your packages and images and such, it's a distribution point.
Mm-hmm.
And you can have a distribution point in Azure, but not for OSD. It's only for applications and packages that you have in your environment.
Oh, I see.
You don't even store updates there, because updates will be, when you're having a cloud-based DP, you will get your updates directly from Microsoft Update. There is
right.
no point of paying traffic money to stuff that is already available for free. So,
and we get back to what model of cloud did you really want? If you're, you know, infrastructure as a service and be responsible for all those things, kind of doesn't make sense. You want the website. You want Microsoft owning the OS and those update responsibilities.
Well, you normally want to control them, but there is no point of downloading them from a DP when you have to pay money for it.
Sure.
But, yeah. But I think it's really cool that is starting to see that components in Config Manager that used to be on-premise only.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's actually being added into the cloud because it sort of gives you a hint of what you might expect in the future.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
Starting to see the possibilities there.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and it certainly is showing up in Operations Manager as well, that we're able to instrument and understand what's going on in these cloud instances almost as well.
Yeah. I like it. It's cool.
Yeah, we're in a transitory time here. I think the one of the reasons that we went so long without new System Center versions was the impact that the cloud had on their plans. It was a long time, a lot of years to wait for all the stuff to come together.
Yeah, I mean, you also have the integration with Intune. You can have Intune and you can manage all those devices directly in mm-hmm. Config Manager. So you have a connector between the two. Beautiful.
And I always think about Intune in the context of tablets and things, but of course it applies to everything, doesn't it?
Yeah, and they also does their mobile device management through Intune.
Mm-hmm.
And that's weird. Very cool.
What's the role of Config Manager in something like a WinRT device?
You can manage. I mean, a WinRT device, it cannot be part of the domain, right?
Right.
But Config Manager can push settings to it,
mm-hmm.
updates to it, policies to it. Like you normally would have in Active Directory, you can do some of those policies from Config Manager instead, even though it's not part of a domain.
Right, so rather than using group policy.
Yeah, and deploy applications to it and such. So you can sideload apps into those. Mm-hmm. I like that.
So it does understand dealing with the RT devices.
Well, currently I would say that Config Manager is the only, at least that I know of, a solution that can actively manage a Windows RT device.
Nice.
So.
And Service Pack 1, I understand some big changes.
Oh, yeah. But the core change was actually to get Server 2012 support and Windows 8 support.
Right.
Not only to be able to deploy them, but actually to run the site roles on those operating systems.
Yeah. So.
I mean, a Config Manager server, it normally lives maybe 4 or 5 years at least in an environment.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't feel really good in the heart to the year of 2013 set up a 2008 R2 server that I know is going to live 5 years.
Yeah.
I would much rather have it on a 2012 host.
Yeah. It's really hard to justify lighting any of those old instances. You know, I live a lot of my life dealing in the web world, and I'm still finding 2003 R2 boxes out there.
Oh, yeah.
They're 10 years old, man. It's time to move on.
Yeah, just a little bit.
And MDT supports imaging all of these older operating systems if you want it to. I just don't know
still
why you would.
Still does support even XP in 2003, but I would be surprised if the next version will support it.
Yeah,
I would be totally surprised.
Yeah, it's time to let it go. Of course, we don't know when the next version of Config Man is going to be. Presumably, it won't be another 5 years.
I don't know, but I know there will be a new version of Windows that are going to announce the plans at TechEd in more detail.
Yep.
And MD 2013 will be one of the solutions that can deploy that, and yeah. I expect also an update to Config Manager to support that OS.
I mean, it makes sense if they're going to do an update to MDT that they'd have to update Config Man, although they may do it as another service pack number.
I have no idea, but they need to do something to support the new OS.
Yeah, it is kind of important.
Yeah, it would be sort of unwise for Microsoft to create a new OS that you cannot deploy. It's like, whoops.
Well, and I am hoping that the sideload story for RT and Win8 in general, the Win8 Metro, is going to get easier in the new version.
Especially for the enterprises.
Yes.
Currently, I mean, having a live account for everyone, challenging.
And the licensing model for sideloading is on the device, not
yep.
per user, which is also, you know, that really impairs bring your own device.
I think, I mean, it was really their first version, right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
Or your first version. I almost consider you to be Microsoft, but I, well.
I'm about as Microsoft as you are, sir. So.
Yeah, but still.
But I do, yeah, I appreciate it was the first version. I also appreciate that when we started asking hard questions about it, they didn't say much, which to me spoke to they're addressing that issue, but they're not allowed to talk about it yet. It's probably going to show up in the next version of the OS.
Yeah, I'm having big hopes for TechEd in New Orleans.
Yeah, I'm hopeful too that's the logical place for it to show or maybe build. I don't know. I mean, we'll find out. They're all pretty, you know, close to the same time. It's going to be a busy June. That much I know for sure.
I know that they are gathering the MVPs for a sort of a second mini MVP summit in Redmond in the May timeframe. So.
Yeah, we'll see what that means, because yeah, that's a long way for you to come. I live in Vancouver. I can just drive down to Redmond.
Yeah, I won't do it this time. They only have 100 seats, and they will. It's mostly online. So.
Yeah, it'll all be a stream thing. So
the downside is, I mean, all that information that you get as an MVP is under NDA. So you're not allowed to talk about it until it's public. So we are back to tech it again.
Yeah. But we also get, you must run into this conflict yourself where you know something that you're not allowed to talk about with your customer, but your customer is asking for advice, and you can give that advice, you just can't explain why.
Exactly.
You know, I know you want to make this decision right now. I would wait.
Exactly.
Just a few weeks. It'd be in your best interest to wait. And that's sometimes frustrating for them. It's like, well, why? I really can't say, but I would suggest it's in your best interest to just wait for a little while.
Yeah, I will smack you on the side of the head if you don't.
I do not want to have to say I told you so a few weeks from now.
Exactly.
So just be patient, you know, all these things will come. Hey, talk to me a little bit about deployment research. What are you doing on this site?
Oh, it's just where I report all my findings that I stumbled across in the consulting work. Things that were not supposed, well, they were supposed to work, but didn't, and had to do a workaround, and then I blog about that, and also try to find out different ways to use the product that maybe wasn't the in the product scope when they created it.
Right, not the specified way to do something, but oddly enough, the way to make something actually work.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny how that works. So the research side here is primarily your blog, just of what you've learned out in the field.
Yeah.
Making these things happen. And then you also have some videos.
Yeah, a bunch of them. I have recorded maybe 50 or so videos. And often when I do events, I try to convince the event owners to actually allow me to publish the videos on my side as well.
Sure.
And sometimes I'm successful, sometimes I'm not.
Yeah. Yeah, funny how that is.
It's illegal.
Well, you volunteer to do the presentation, and they're not paying you for it, but then they videotape it, but they don't want you taking the video and doing anything with it.
Sometimes.
Depends on the group, I guess.
Yes.
Yeah, funny set of choices there.
Yeah.
So what's next for you? I guess TechEd's only a few weeks away.
Yeah, I have TechEd North America and TechEd Europe coming up, and hopefully Australia and New Zealand. It's not confirmed yet, but I have hopes.
Yeah.
I would love to go back there. I love the country.
Yeah, beautiful place. Long way to go. Lots of fun people who are glad to see you. They're always surprised when the Northern Hemisphere folks show up in the Southern Hemisphere, too.
And next week, we have a deployment roadshow in Sweden. I'm doing that with Michael Nystrom. I think you have talked to him.
I have talked to Michael in the past. Yeah. Back when they had the were small business server, and then they did the one up from there. He was big on that. It wasn't enterprise, but it was sort of like the medium server solution.
He's still a setup and deployment MVP, so we're doing a roadshow together, and that will be great fun.
Yeah, just getting out there, showing people how to use the tools the right way.
Oh, yeah.
And get it further afield. Well, Johan, it's so much fun to talk to you. I've really been appreciating your work for years, and great to finally get a chance to chat and talk through, you know, the ways you like to take on MDT and ConfigMan.
Thanks.
And I will make sure the links are posted on the show so folks can find you again. Thanks so much for listening.
Excellent. Thank you, sir.
And we'll talk to you next week on Run As Radio.